There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
All right, back here in another edition of Krantz's Corner. Fun one today because I get to speak to my next guest here once in a while, and I love talking to him, Jeff Darlington from ESPN. I like to call him Mr. Bangy Dangy, the OG Bangy Dangy. For those of you know, and if you don't, it's a story for another time on another podcast. Jeff, welcome back to Krantz's Corner. Look, I got a nice new thing in the background, I think, since the last time.
It looks great. It looks great. I your head though is blocking whether it's a C or a K. It is a K.
All right. Keeping Krantz's it at
corner.
The K.
I was hoping you'd keep with the alliteration properly, so not just in what's the phonetic? Not just phonetic.
I think that's the right word.
Visually, Krantz's Corner.
Right. And to be honest with you, for those of you who don't know, the last time Jeff was on, we were kind of futzing around about the name Krantz's Corner and the big budget that we have here. And I sent that video, that clip, into our big sales meeting. And I was given an extra $25 to get this background in the back. So,
Jeff,
thank you. You did it. You were the actual one.
Was there ever in the brainstorming session to name the podcast? Was it ever, perhaps, did you ever consider going Krantz with the C? And then Corner with the C?
Like, no, you know what?
No, you didn't. Because
didn't
go with your name.
Right. But you did it. But I wanted to, first off, outside of all the cool stuff we could talk about today, I wanted to thank you and all the Krantz's, all, you know, dozens of the Krantz's Corner people that listen.
Right.
They want to thank you also because we did it. We got a new background and it's literally all because of you. So thank you.
Yes. That's what I'm here for.
Right. I know. That's why I needed you on again. I figured I can get some more budget after this conversation with you also somehow. So this is good also. All right. So last couple of weeks for the Miami Dolphins have been an interesting couple ones, from 70 to 20 to a loss in Buffalo. That was just a bad loss for the Dolphins, to 31-16 win over the New York Giants. The one thing that has been there these 3 weeks, though, is the offense has been kind of there, except for that Buffalo game. In the beginning, it was there, and then it kind of died off. It's been an interesting couple of weeks, an interesting season right now under Mike McDaniel. I know you've talked to him, and you put out great videos for ESPN, great stuff for ESPN a couple of weeks back. What have you gotten so far out of this Dolphins team? What have you seen? What do you feel about this Dolphins team right now, sitting at 4-1, Carolina coming up, and then a big one against Philly?
Well, I think that, Zach, the best thing that the Dolphins are currently doing is finding their identity while piling up wins. They probably have a more defined offensive identity, maybe outside of the 49ers, of any team in the league right now. And that, to me, the teams that find that the soonest and can refine it the best are the teams that ultimately are successful in the postseason. Devon Achan going down with a knee injury that could keep him out several weeks. Yeah, that's a slight hiccup. But again, when you're talking about a team that is pursuing more than simply, a regular season success, that's okay. I think that you can just continue to grind out wins, find your identity. And in an AFC East that obviously has the Bills, but otherwise feels like it's very much attainable. I think that's a very positive sign for Miami.
Yeah, and it's funny you bring up the AFC East because it's a different way different narrative than it was about 5 or 6 weeks ago. Before, obviously, Aaron Rodgers and everything. It's a totally different AFC East than it was, like I said, preseason-wise in general. What do you think about Tua's play? We saw it before he got injured last year in this offense that he could do it and he could put up numbers and they could be, you know, as good as an offense as there is in the NFL. And now through five games, basically right back at it again, like nothing happened to him last season. I think that's a testament to him and a testament to Mike McDaniel for getting him back in the right situations. And I love it. I love the fact that we could go back to before Mike McDaniel was on the airplane, the FaceTime call with Tua. From that point on to now, not only has he taken Tua, but he's making him so much better and making him an MVP candidate and a 4-1 Dolphin team.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a timing-based offense, and Tua is as good as anybody at that. And even in a game when we saw some hiccups where two kind of tough interceptions by Tua in this most recent win against the Giants, they still put up over 500 yards. I was talking to Tyreek Hill about it after. I'm like, dude, have you ever seen a team lose the turnover battle 3-0 and yet win by 14 points? And he said the answer, I mean, we had over 500 total offensive yards. I mean, that is when you can compensate for turnovers with yards like that, ultimately you don't want to, that's as McDaniel said after the game, like that's not the way you want to win. It's not a great recipe for success by any means. But the fact that you can get a win losing the turnover battle 3-0, I think that speaks pretty highly to what we've seen from Tua for the most part this season.
How much fun is Tyreek Hill having, by the way, these couple?
He's very funny. I mean, I knew him in Kansas City a little bit too, covering the Chiefs a lot. And he was always energized like that. I will say it does seem, I don't want to say that he didn't have fun in Kansas City. He clearly did. He was a big personality there too. But he definitely seems like this high-flying offense, this kind of fun atmosphere really fits Tyreek very well.
Yeah, I mean, it just looks like they're having fun out there. Obviously, when you're winning and putting up a lot of numbers, you're going to have fun. When you're losing, you're not.
Not That's as fun against Buffalo.
Right,
not,
right.
Not as much fun then.
Right, I can totally see that at that point. Defensively-wise, we haven't seen the Dolphins really become that defense yet under Vic Fangio. And I know that obviously Jalen Ramsey not out there yet. And Jalen Phillips not out there the last couple weeks. How many teams could literally say, possibly for a playoff run or a push at the end, they'll have a healthy best pass rusher and one of the best, if not best, DB coming back. That's something the Dolphins have in their back pocket. It's really unbelievable how that is about to happen.
It's massive. I remember talking to somebody before the season within the organization who's basically telling me they thought Jalen Phillips was capable of a 15-sack season. So you get him healthy and add Jalen Ramsey to a secondary that does feel vulnerable at times. You know, Xavier Howard obviously making great plays. And I don't think it's that they don't have the talent. It's not like it's a bad group of defensive backs beyond Howard and Ramsey. But I think when you bring Jalen into the fold, it kind of suits everybody's roles a little bit better. Not as much pressure on those guys that are maybe better depth players. So, you know, it is – as long as the rest of the team, you know, when you see Achan go down, I'm sure that makes Dolphins fans like, man, that's how fast this can change. Now, again, it's not a season-ending injury. At least that's not the perception as of now. So if you can kind of keep just winning games and have your eye on getting healthier as the season goes on, again, I just think about championship pedigrees and seasons that go the right way for teams. And it is absolutely, that is maybe the number one requirement of any good team.
Yeah, it truly, I mean, it just looks like they're not complete yet. And when they do become complete, this team can be better, which is scary too, because they're playing really high level ball right now. Is there anything that surprises you with this Dolphins team so far through five games, or anything that you're like, wow, I didn't realize that could be, or in an opposite way where it's surprising you in a bad way with this team so far?
No, I would say Achan's kind of surge has been not surprising, but very welcome for the Dolphins in terms of, you know, you saw whenever a big name running back came up, whether it was Dalvin Cook or Jonathan Taylor, the Dolphins were sort of kind of feeling around for the potential of adding them because, you know, I think there were still some unknowns. So you get Achane in the mix. And that's going to be so huge because I felt like in that Bills loss, hearing Tyreek Hill after the game say that they were playing too high safety the whole game to try to take away the deep ball in some of the timing routes, and that really messed with the Dolphins. So suddenly, you know, you put that on tape and teams know that that's what they have to do. Yet when you ask Tyreek, so what do you do if they do that again? What do you do if a team just plays too high the whole time? And he says, you got to run the ball. So the running game, which Mike McDaniel was brilliant at,
does
become incredibly important, especially when you start playing high-level teams. Not to take away from the wins by the Dolphins so far against the likes of the Broncos and the Giants, but you better roll those teams if you're a great team. They've got to get they've got to be more prepared. And again, I'm not saying in a negative way because I think that the Bills game was a really interesting one for this team and probably perfectly placed in their schedule from the standpoint that it's not necessarily a major burden to have a loss at that point, but it is a reminder in between games against the Broncos and the Giants, for instance, that that, you know, those big bad teams still lurk out there.
Right.
And you're going to have some different looks that you're going to have to get used to.
You think Kansas City and Buffalo are still the two teams to beat in the AFC?
Yes, I do. No question. I think you can put the Dolphins in that mix.
Okay.
It's going to be really interesting to me to see, like, those teams have been there now. They've knocked on the door, especially in the postseason. And I don't care what you say, like the Bills kind of being disappointing in the postseason the past few years. When you knock on the door, that's worth something to me. I know people say that any season that doesn't end with the Super Bowl is a failure, but it's not. Like, you develop into a grittier, tougher, top-tier team with those experiences. And the Chiefs and the Bills and the AFC, to me, are two of those teams. And by the way, I know the Bengals are struggling right now, but we've seen that from them the past two seasons too. They are also pretty battle-tested. So as long as they can get Joe Burrow healthy again and get his calf right, which doesn't seem to be right yet, I think they become formidable in the postseason. And then you got the 49ers and the Eagles in the NFC. So I wonder what the Dolphins will be like in some of those big situations late in the year, especially on the road, especially potentially in cold weather, when timing becomes much more difficult. But for now, you can't ask more of what the Dolphins have done to put themselves in the conversation with those other teams.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, I think the Bengals still have to be in that conversation, like you said, because they're, what, 2-3? Pittsburgh's 3-2 on top of that division. It's a one-game mix before all of a sudden Cincinnati now on top of the AFC
it's
North.
It's inevitable. Right. You can feel it. I mean, every year for the past 2 years, I feel like the Bengals have gotten counted out early on, and then they find a way to surge and create their identity. And that's, again, that's kind of my point before. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. And I think the Dolphins learned that last year,
Oh, of course.
They got to keep just grinding through.
Right, of course. How about Chase Claypool? What do you think he's going to do with the Dolphins now coming here?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think anybody does.
Right.
I don't mind the risk.
Right.
It doesn't – you know, I think what's a cool situation for the Dolphins is, as Mike McDaniel said, we're great with our wide receivers that we have. And a lot of times teams say that, but they don't mean it. This was not a move made out of any kind of desperation, which, as Dolphins fans know very well,
happens.
Has often been the case for this team. Like, who can we pick up? It's kind of like when your fantasy team sucks and you're like, man, that guy's averaging 4.7 points, but he had his starter got hurt. So maybe he'll be the guy.
Right.
It never ends up working. So in this situation, I think it's more like, to keep that analogy going with the fantasy football thing, like, hey, Claypool's out there. I'll pick him up and kind of, stock him over there and see what we can make of him. Maybe if he turns out pretty good.
I said the same thing when it happened. It was like, you didn't give up much, if anything, for him. You're bringing him in here. If you need him down this in a couple of weeks, great. If not, what's the big deal? You're not paying the guy $20 million a year to check on.
I always like, and it doesn't always work, and it should not be assumed. Remember when they got Isaiah Wilson a few years ago? I think it was Isaiah Wilson.
The offensive lineman,
We could take a chance on this guy, see what we got. It could be the same thing as that.
Right.
And if it is, oh, well. But if it's not, you got yourself another weapon.
That's it. And if it happens, it happens. It does. It's not a big deal. Is the for the Chicago Bears worst team in the NFL, you think, at this point right now?
Arizona
Cardinals, can they be put up there? Although Arizona puts up a fight every week, too.
I mean, the Giants right now, if they can't get healthy, their offensive line is awful. If Saquon can't get going with his ankle – Daniel Jones deals with the neck injury. I mean, they're really bad right now, too.
Right.
Arizona squeaked out some wins there, but Carolina trying to figure it out. But there's some pretty bad teams that were, unexpectedly bad, too. I don't necessarily know that I had some of those teams at the bottom of the list to start the season. The Giants being one of them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, after coming out, they went to the playoffs last year and won a game in Minnesota. So, I would never think that they would come back this year. No. Worse, so much worse off than they were. And now it doesn't matter who you kind of follow or whatnot in the New York media, all they do is highlight the next 3 years on Daniel Jones's contract.
Yeah, and the thing
stinks, right?
I think that they could. I was talking to a Giants fan yesterday randomly because I expected all of these Giants fans to be like just totally down. And this guy was pointing out, you don't really know what you have in Daniel Jones until you have a better offensive line,
right?
And they are historically bad right now. So I get it. Doesn't look like you should have paid him $40 million a year.
Right.
At the same time, they got to get a better offensive line before they know anything.
Right, of course. Denver, how about this? Are they surprising you how bad they are this year? Denver's another team up there in the rankings of what the hell happens.
It never felt – outside of being like, okay, this makes sense. Sean Payton, if someone's going to get Russell Wilson back to where he needs to be, it's Sean. But I don't know that – I don't know, man. In retrospect, Sean and Russ are kind of in the same situation, right?
Sure seems like it.
Sean retired for a reason, albeit brief, left the game for a reason,
right?
And it doesn't feel, I don't know how they manage that. I don't know that Sean Payton would have taken that job if not for the money that was there. And usually when that's the case, that's not necessarily a great situation.
Right.
Maybe that's not completely fair.
That's got to be put in the mix a little bit, right?
Yeah, I just think if you go into that situation and Russell does not work out, if Sean was going into that situation thinking at all there's a chance Russell doesn't work out, you're kind of setting yourself up for a losing situation because of the contract they gave him. I don't know how that one ends. I really don't. Outside of finding Brock Purdy, in the last pick of the draft and suddenly having a quarterback on a rookie deal worth nothing, I don't know how you can move on from Russ without it, setting your franchise back.
Oh, I saw somebody on your network breaking down what it's like, dead cap money for the next like 2 years. If you try to get rid, it's impossible. He's with that team until 2026, unless, honestly, and I don't think if Walmart could do any better than they do every day anyway, but unless Walmart has a couple big days and, you know, the owner of the team just says, give the guy $100 million and let him go. Right. Like, I just don't see that happening at that point. Right.
You're still, I mean, I think, again, like I said, you can, you have to hit in the draft. I mean, you've got to be Bill Belichick getting Tom Brady, because that certainly seems to have helped.
The rich get richer. Brock Purdy of the Niners, like you said. Right. It's interesting how that goes. Jeff, I got to ask you this, and then I'm going to let you run, because I know your relationship with Mike McDaniel. I love watching the videos of Mike McDaniel. I like how the rest of the world is seeing Mike McDaniel. I know you've known him for a long time. I thought from the first day we met him, me and Joe got to sit with him for like 35 minutes the first day that he got introduced here to the Miami Dolphins. And I thought from that point on, this guy's different, but in a really fun way. I don't know how it's going to translate to being a head coach, but we'll see what happens in the next year, 2 or 3 years. He's proving everybody wrong, right? The nerdy Harry Potter looking head coach is ending up being one of the best coaches in the league so far since he started.
Yeah. And I don't know that he's even proving anybody wrong, because I don't think anybody had him on their radar to be
right. That's true. Right. Also. You're right.
I mean, like, that's where you got to give the Dolphins so much credit. Look, that was his first head coaching interview. No one had even so much as brought him into the building to talk to him. I mean, this is a guy who's the offensive coordinator for Kyle Shanahan, and lurking in the background for years, and not even so much as a head coaching interview. And the first team to give him that head coaching interview hired him.
Right.
That's a bold decision by Steve Ross and Tom Garfinkel and Chris Greer that deserves every bit of credit that these wins kind of provide, that the validation of these wins of what Mike has done so far. I mean, I think it's all deserved. Mike deserved this opportunity, and the Dolphins were the one team willing to give it to him. So, like you said, you know, it's only been a couple of years, but he is brilliant. I think one of the things I always knew that Mike was creative and smart enough, and I knew that he had a great rapport with players. I talked to people in San Francisco about that, players there before he got the job with the Dolphins. And the thing I think that has been most impressive to me, or unexpected is not the right word, but the thing that I think has impressed me the most that I didn't know would impress me is how well he's running the system. It's a well-oiled machine. Practices are organized. Games are rhythmic. You know, he's figuring out the pre-snap penalties, but when you have such complexities when it comes to some of those motions, that takes time. But in general, it feels, I mean, Dolphins fans know very well what it can feel like under the likes of Cam Cameron and Joe Philbin, and how disorganized and chaotic it can feel. With Mike so far, it has felt very, very synergetic.
It's just a weird feeling, I think, for all Dolphin fans that everything is going okay on top. Like, there's no issues right now. And you, like you said, you can go back to Cam all the way up to Flores and Adam Gase, and just what was the kind of just at certain points during the season or in the offseason, chaos in upper management or whatnot. And it just seems okay right now. I think that's why Dolphin fans are worried, because everything just seems okay, right?
Well, you know, organizationally too, I think they've done a really good job in the past several years of really got kind of getting that hierarchy figured out.
Right, and putting it in place. Know, right, I agree with you there. Right.
With what Tom Garfinkel's doing at CEO, with what the energy between Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel is awesome. I mean, those guys are made for each other when it comes to this. One of the knocks, I think, on Greer over the past few years is, I think people don't even realize, like, he was doing everything possible for his head coaches. He's one of those guys who's going to cater to his head coach. And if you don't have a head coach that's kind of doing really smart things, it can expose the general manager. And right now he's doing things for Mike and not just being his puppet by any means. He's been his own man, but I think it is showing us the best of Chris Greer. And it is very clearly a really great relationship right now.
And it's working. And listen, I was one of those guys. I was on the radio every day going, Chris Greer, what is he doing? Chris Greer needs to be fired, Chris Greer this, Chris Greer that, because he was, like you said, catering, and sometimes it didn't work. So, of course, there's no one to blame but Chris Greer in that situation. I'm not going to come on the air and say, what was Brian Flores thinking? What was this guy thinking? It's all about blaming Chris Greer at that point. And what he did was turn me, because this is how this is. And like I said, now I'll actually leave you on this. When the turnaround, the rebuild happened, and they came out and said, we're going to do it through the draft, we're going to do it through this, we got so many draft picks. Of course, I bit into it like a lot of other fans, and then we get two in that first draft with Austin Jackson and Igbinoghami with three first-round picks, one possibly, and this was 2 years ago, Tua maybe be the guy. The other two guys are not the guy. Chris Greer needs to be fired. No, but he goes out and makes all these trades, says screw the draft picks, and look at this team now. So as much as I was fired Chris Greer a couple of years ago, I'm ready now to put him in the GM of the year conversation.
There you go.
What this Dolphins team might look like at the end of this year. It's amazing what happens over a couple of years. And I'm one of those guys. I admit it. I had no Igbinoghami on the radio before he got traded last year with Joe. And I'm like, I got to admit, I'm one of the guys that think you're a first round bust. And I apologize. Like, you actually look like you're coming out of your shell a little bit. This is before you got traded and he's gone. But that's the case. But you're right. Everything goes. But now there's just a good synergy in that.
It's situational. So much of the NFL situation, you know?
And there's radio heads like me.
When you find that good situation, you got to run with it.
Right. Absolutely. Jeff, thank you for your time as always.
Zach,
yes.
What a wonderful experience.
Listen, that's the promo I needed at the end to send to my sales department for this and that. Always appreciate the time. I know you're a busy guy. Where are you off to this week coming up?
I'm doing Bucks Lions over in Tampa.
Wow. Okay.
Kind of, you know, that's another team, the Lions.
I love watching them.
Yeah.
And you had a piece. Wait a minute. I'm cutting you off. You had a piece on Jared Goff a couple weeks ago. And what a great piece on Jared Goff, because I think Jared Goff was kind of the forgotten soul for a couple of years. And look what he's doing now in Detroit. I think it's a great story what's happening
really cool.
in Detroit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really happy for him.
Yep, me too. I think so also. Bangy Dangy, we'll talk to you again soon. Always appreciate your time. And thank you for always helping out with the budget here for Krantz's Corner. You do help a
lot. Love you, bud. Thanks, man.
All right, this has been Krantz's Corner with Jeff Darlington.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app